current study. This is an expository study in 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm hoping to be able to cover verses 1 to 10 as we look at the title, Promote Respect Among Our Elders and Our Widows. Follow along as I read the first 10 verses. Apostle Paul's writing to Timothy, who's pastoring the church at Ephesus. And he says to Timothy, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren or brothers, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she have received the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you give us the protocol and the mandates for respect to our elders and how to treat each other as family, and for the mandate and the qualifications of helping those who are widows indeed. And Lord, we recognize that in this passage, the charge is given to the family to first take upon that responsibility. I want to thank you, Lord, for the people here who have set the example of being wonderful caregivers to their family, to their mothers and their fathers who have become of old. May you bless them and strengthen them and give them courage to continue on. Father, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Hide me behind the cross for Christ's sake. And I ask it in his name. Amen. Well, Paul is here trying to teach the concept of family in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are family. We may not have the same blood coursing through our veins, but if you've been saved, you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes us family because we've been washed all in the very same chrism blood of the Lord. And we're to treat each other as family. That's what this passage is primarily about. Do you know that overall disrespect is a growing problem in our society? The primary concern today is how children and adolescents treat their elders, their parents, their grandparents. It is a sad thing. And it is sad for me as a pastor sometimes to watch the disrespect that I see with young people when they come to church and not even greet the elders. That's sad. It ought not be like that. The Bible tells us we're to respect our elders. But we're living in a day and age where we're told, well, elders have to earn respect. Well, folks, if there's an elder in this church and they're in good standing with the church and in God, you can respect them. Amen? Amen. There's no excuse not to. There's no excuse for children to come to church and Sunday school and not say good morning. I know how many times I chastised the young people when Mrs. Paul was our Sunday school teacher, and she hung in there sick as she was and continued to teach her class, and young people would walk right by her. She's carrying two bags of books and couldn't even say, good morning, Mrs. Paul. What has happened to our society? I think I know a little. The internet and the widespread access to education has caused our young people to
think that, you know, their elders don't know as much as they do. And maybe for the first time in history, the younger generation is now more educated than the older. And that might be so. They have access to technology through the internet, through their phones. A lot of older people don't even know how to use those. But let me tell you this, while that doesn't mean they know everything, they rely less on our elders to learn what they really need to learn about life's experiences. That is sad because nothing can equate to the life learned, tried, and true experiences that our seniors have lived through. Amen. I don't care what you've learned in a book. I thank God for the seniors that are with us and share their experiences and remind us of how things were in the past. And I praise God for folks like Gary and others like him. They mean a lot to our church, have a lot to share. They can show us where we came from and how far we've moved away. Today, respect your elders is practically an artifact. An artifact that generation after generation has passed down, but does not really utilize. It is a biblical concept to respect our elders. But corruption in our society has swindled away that respect. Nonetheless, the church is a family relationship, and we ought to respect each other. As Paul writes here to Timothy, and it begins with the elders. In 1 Timothy 5, the apostle Paul is instructing young Timothy in how to meet the challenges of managing the people of God in the church. And we see in the first couple of passages, we see four categories listed. And in this context, he talks about older men, uses the word elder. Now, don't be confused, because in chapter 3, we saw that word elder. But in chapter 3, the word elder was synonymous with pastor. It was used in a different context, talking about the office of the church. In chapter 5, we're talking about an elder as a senior, someone who has grown in age and experience. And again, if they're a member of a Bible-believing church such as ours, and in good standing with the church, they don't need to earn your respect, young people. You need to respect them. Do I get an amen? Amen. Some of them have put their lives on the line in foreign countries and have experiences that you'll never know about. And yet we toss them aside when they get old like they're just useless trash. It breaks my heart to see what some of us have done to our parents. And we think that we don't owe them anything. In fact, we're raising a generation that is an entitlement generation, and they think because they were born that their parents owe them everything. I dare you to find that principle in this passage. You won't. You'll find the opposite. That you have a responsibility to recompense your parents. So we see these four categories. Older men or senior men, senior women, younger men and younger women. And so it is obvious that he has in mind here of the family relationship in the church and how important it is for us to respect one another. Paul the apostle knew that if Timothy was to excel as a godly leader, a godly pastor, that he must understand this principle that we are one in Christ. We are a family. And it's a wonderful concept to be part of the family of God. Without that, and without understanding that principle, the church in Ephesus could not properly prosper. And so he begins in the first two verses of chapter 5 talking about respect for elders. And he begins with, rebuke not an elder. Now, parcel of the pastor's ministry is to rebuke. He's not saying they never rebuke, but he's saying rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Confronting older men or an elder, again, talking about a senior person, all would be done with respect. An older man must be treated with respect by being appealed to as one's father. So Paul is telling Timothy, do not rebuke an older man harshly. There are times that the pastor has to rebuke or exhort, but he is to do it as if he's talking to a father. And then he says the younger men as brethren. And what that means is the younger men are to be treated as one's brother. Treat younger men as if they were your own brother. And then he gets into verse 2, the older women, the elder women. Again, the word elder here is not talking about the office of the church. It's talking about a senior lady. And as we go through the passage, we find he's talking about those that are over the age of 60 or 60 and over. The elder women were to treat as what? As a mother. Have respect for the senior women just like you would respect your own mother. The word rebuke, it is a very strong term. It refers to harsh or strong rebuke. But in dealing with seniors, there should be an attitude, if there is to be rebuked, and you'll find as we go on that Paul is saying this because there were some problems that needed exhortation. There were some problems going on in the church of Ephesus, and we talked about this Wednesday night, that had to be dealt with. But when we're dealing with church members, people who are born-again believers, who are seniors, it should be done with an attitude of gentleness and respect. Folks, in the intimate, loving relationship of a family, we do not harshly rebuke. Even fathers are told to be careful about how they rebuke their child. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Keep your finger there in Timothy 5. Paul again is writing, and this time, rather than writing to the pastor, who's Timothy of Ephesus, he's writing to the church of Ephesus. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, chapter 6, verse 1. And so, children, you ought to respect your parents. Verse 2, honor is synonymous with the word respect. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the promise is that if you respect your parents, that you'll have longevity of life. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's a promise from God. Don't disrespect your parents. And then verse 4 is addressed to fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not or rebuke not your children to what? Wrath. Unfortunately, some of us brought up where our fathers did rebuke us with wrath. And it's probably because their fathers rebuke them in wrath. Amen? Somewhere we got to break the cycle, amen? If you're born again, you ought to be part of breaking the cycle. Don't leave it to the next generation. You do it. God has called you to do it. Why? You have the Holy Spirit in you to do it. So do it. Discipline in love and gentleness and kindness. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We come back to chapter 5, and we are told to honor widows that are widows indeed. The word honor there, again, is synonymous with the word respect. And that word conveys the idea of encouraging. We are to entreat, the Bible says, what does entreat convey? The word entreat conveys the idea of coming alongside those that are weak. Widows in biblical times and even in our times have come to a place where they have suffered loss. And because of that loss, they are in a weakened state. And so we're to entreat them. The word entreat actually comes from the Greek word parakaleto. That word might sound familiar to you because as we studied the New Testament, we know that Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Paraclete. Or, in other passages, parakaletos. That's a noun. And it describes what the Holy Spirit does. What does the Holy Spirit do to us when we're saved? Holy Spirit comes in. We're nothing but a baby. We're very weak as a child of God. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside and encourages us and strengthens us and gives us wisdom. And so the word means that, to admonish, to appeal. And it could be translated in the passage. It could be translated into the word strengthen. And it has the idea that one comes alongside of one who is weak and helps them up. And that's what he's talking about here when he says honor or entreat widows that are widows indeed. Now we're going to get into the idea of what he means when he says widows indeed. But first we need to understand that a widow is one who has suffered loss. And because of that loss, they have been weakened. And they need encouragement. They need honor. They need to be entreated. We are happy that the Holy Spirit, the Paracleto, comes alongside when we're discouraged or when we suffered loss and lifts us up and encourages us. And we are to come alongside of others and to help them. Take your Bible and go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We're to do the same for our brethren when they're weak or they're found in a state where they need help. Paul writes to the church of Galatians and he says in chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, and that word brethren conveys the idea that we're brothers in Christ. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Not harsh rebuke. Gentleness, kindness, love, meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law to love one another as God loves you. The Bible makes it clear that there is to be mutual respect for the elderly woman, the elderly man, the young man, and the young woman. Now, confronting younger men, as we look in chapter 1, we treat them, the Bible says, as brothers. Again, we see the principle of treating others as family. You know what that means? That we don't assume because we're in leadership or because we're older an air or an attitude of superiority. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? We think we know more than the younger person. And we are living in a day and age where technology has made our young people a little bit sharper, a little bit smarter in some things and facts. But I would never trade that for the experience of the older senior who has lived life and seen life and knows what it takes to make it another day in this life. Don't ever discount that. We don't assume this air of superiority, and yet we do know that there are going to be times where there will be confrontations. We can't go through life, the Bible says, without offenses, and we have to deal with that. But they should be done in humility. They should be done in love. They should be done in a spirit of nurturing and care. And then he talks about confronting the younger women as sisters with absolute what? Purity. I wanted to get all three of these categories in one kind of lump sum before I move to the next point. But when he talks about treating a young lady as a sister, he's stressing that Timothy as a pastor must interact with these young ladies as he would his own sister. And he would want to treat them like he would treat his sister. Leaders and pastors must never interact with younger women in a non-appropriate way. Timothy, as a godly man, was to always make certain that his conduct towards women was always pure and above reproach. He was not to put himself in a compromising situation. Now, let me stop there for a minute. You know, I have seen down through the years of ministry, pastors that I've known have ruined their ministry. And they ruined their ministry because they didn't take heed to how they would treat younger women. And they put themselves in a compromising situation. I think of the pastor right now at the top of my head, the Lord has taken him home, but he was chastised by his deacon board because he kept taking younger women in his office and closing the door. You don't do that. You don't put yourself in the place of impropriety. And the deacons told him that door has to go, or you must leave it open when you're in there counseling. So somebody made up a rumor. It wasn't true, but it was enough to destroy that pastor's ministry. It wasn't true. That not only hurts the young lady, the pastor, and the church. And guess who's the happiest? Yeah, Satan. So we have these categories of these elderly men who deserve our respect. And by the way, there's some here, I won't mention any names, but I'm thinking of one in particular, that has kind of taken elderly people under his wing. You know, as a pastor, that has blessed my heart. To know that we have one among us that understands the benefits, the experiences, the sacrifices that our seniors have made for our generation and shows kindness towards them. And I thank you and thank those of you that respect our seniors in that fashion. But now we're going to move as we get into the heart of dealing with what Paul talks about, the care of the widows in the church. And again, we go back to verse 3 where we see he says that they're to be respected if they're widows indeed. So God's people must treat widows with the same care that Almighty God does. And I could take up the rest of the sermon just showing you passage after passage, but I don't want to do that. I'll just give you a quick sampling. Now remember, the widows of Paul's day knew nothing of Social Security. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps or any other social services of the day. Now, I thank God that in our day that we do have these things. Because it would be a great tax on the church if we had to deal with all the widows in our community or in our church community. But we still have a responsibility to widows. Once widowed through the death of a spouse or even abandonment, if you really study the name widow in the Greek, it conveys more than just one who has lost a loved one through death. It conveys the idea also of being abandoned. And these ladies in the first century had very little recourse. They had very little resources. And so they often depended on charity. And God takes a special interest in women who have lost their husbands. We go to Acts chapter 6, and we see in the New Testament a very definitive situation where the Grecians and the Hebrew women were not being treated fairly, who were widows. And the apostles got together and said, we need to appoint 12 godly men among us so they could wait upon the tables and help take care of the widows. And again, those who were widows indeed. And then we go to the Old Testament in Psalm 68 and verse 5. And we find there is the verse of father to the fathers, the defender of the widows is God in his holy dwelling, unquote. And we go to the Old Testament, we find in Exodus charges to the community of the Israelis. And God had a special thing for the Hebrew people, and he had special laws to care for orphans and for widows. In Exodus 22, verse 22 to 23, he says, do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. And by the way, again, go back to James, and we find the only time religion is talked about is when we practice taking care of these people who are in need. And God says, if you do not, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. And so the Bible tells us that God is concerned for these individuals. And the obligation of the church to support widows comes from this verse, verse 3. To entreat, that means to support, to come alongside, to help these widows. Again, if they're widows indeed. And so what Paul is saying, we need to be sure that they're widows and they must qualify to be a widow. The word widow, again, it conveys one who has suffered lost or has been robbed, that they lost everything. It is a woman without a husband, whether or not it was through death, desertion, divorce, or separation. And so it says, support those women who are alone when they really are all alone without any resources. The issue here is those women must truly be widows indeed. The church responsibility then is to support them. Now in our church, we've been fortunate down through the years that I've been here that we have not had to make a separate budget for widows. We have had budgets to cover incidences where people in our church would need some help. But it ever came to that, the Bible tells us that we ought to maybe vote to have a budget for that to some degree. When I say that it's the church responsibility, I'm not just talking about the church as an organization. Because there are some churches that they can barely pay their utility bills, whether alone to help take care of the widows in the church. Who makes up the church? The people. And so it is a responsibility on all of us. And so when I say the church, I'm not just talking about the church as an organization. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. That we have a sensitivity to these people. And again, I want to stop to say thank you, because I know there are people in this church that have kept their eye out for seniors who are in need. And that's a blessing to me as a pastor. And if it's a blessing to me, I know it's a blessing to God. Amen. And you are being commended by me, and I hope that you feel blessed by God. It's not just our responsibility to vote that the church puts some money in a budget. It's our responsibilities as individuals to be sensitive. Now I want you to note the next verse, because God understands human nature. He understands that there could be some unscrupulous people who claim they're widows and they're not. And so in verse 4, he says, but if any widow hath what? Children, and not just children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable to God. And so in verse 4, we note that the good Lord expects that this responsibility is first and foremost upon the immediate family before the family of God. Amen. It doesn't mean that you are to support a woman who has the resources to take care of oneself or has family. The sad thing is that in our day, when a mom or father gets sick, it seems that predominantly they're just thrown into a home. It's not easy, I know, from experience, to take care of one's parents, especially in light of the day of the kind of diseases and things that can happen to our loved ones. But if we have the resources to do so, we ought to. I thank God for my wife, who loved her mom, and it was a blessing to have her for about 9 years. You know, most of those years were good years. But as she got in her 90s, her health failed. And it was harder. But it was important to be there for her, to recompense to her mom for all the love and support she gave us. Do you know one of my greatest heartaches as a pastor? And many of you don't know this because you don't go with me when I go on visitation. But I cannot tell you how many times I have visited elderly people from this church who were placed in a nursing home. And my wife can attest to this because she goes with me many times. And I've had some senior moms cry to me, "Pastor, what did I ever do to deserve this? To be put here when my family can take care of me?" It's because we're being disobedient to the Word of God. I'm not saying in every situation, because I certainly understand there comes a time in situations where the family just cannot. But I think sometimes we skip verse 4 and we don't think we have a responsibility, but God says we do. There are some women who have been left alone and they have enough to live on. And they may even have more than enough to live on. Well, praise God. And the Greek word there for requite conveys the concept, as I mentioned before, to recompense. If they do not, then their children, their nephew, their family ought to recompense. Requite. That is to say, children and family members need to make compensation. But what we find in our society today is the young people will say, "Oh, I'm too busy to take care of my, I'm not going to make that kind of a sacrifice." It is a shame not to do so. It is not always easy, but it always is rewarding by God. So the family has the primary responsibility to care for its own widows. It is putting your, as it were, religion into practice. And it is interesting that verse 8, if we jump down, is almost a commentary to verse 4. You'll see what I mean. "But if any provide not for his own," that's your family, "and especially for those of his own house," that's your immediate family, your mother, your father, grandmother, grandfather, "he has denied the faith." You can't say you're a born-again Christian and you have faith in God when you deny the faith by denying recompense to your parents. And the Bible says, "And not only have you denied the faith, but you're worse than an infidel." You know what that means? You're worse than a pagan. The pagans knew how to take care of their parents. Go back into history and we see that. But there is the evaluation that is to be done by the church in the caring of widows. We find that in verses 5 to 10. I'm going to be quick. "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication." What it's saying is, if this is a godly woman in your church who needs help, she's going to be available in church. She's going to be a witness to her faith. She's not going to be someone that just stays home and does nothing. She's going to be plugged into the church. How many times have I told people who've called and asked for help, they just ask for money? And I said, "Well, why don't you come to the church and just kind of plug in and get to know our people for at least a few weeks, and I'm sure that somebody will be sensitive to your need." They don't care. They just want you to write a check. Sad. Remember one time I got a call and we went over don't know, I think Jim went with me. Went over here to the hotel in Wingdale. Guy kept calling and he needed money. And so went over there to talk to him. It thought it'd be an opportunity to witness. And he gave me a long, sad story. We got there and he had the TV on and it was turned to filth. He had the phone book open and I glanced at it and it was the yellow pages of all the churches in the area. He had pizza boxes and empty and Chinese food. And I'm like, this guy's calling the church for help. The Bible tells us if they don't act like a Christian, don't treat them like a Christian. Amen? That's what it says now. She that is a widow indeed and desolate, trust in God and continue with in supplication and prayers night and day. In other words, these widows will behave as Christians. And if they behave as Christians, we have responsibility. Take care of them as a Christian. And verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So there are qualifications. The church is to support qualifying women who have lost their husbands and to show respect and to care and to treat graciously. But if they don't measure up, the church is not to waste its resources. Now that's not to say we can't pray for them. That's not to say that we can't reach out with the gospel. We should. The church is not obligated to support all widows, only those who are widows indeed. Not all widows are truly alone and without means. Some have, as I said earlier, the resources from their husbands left for them to take care of their family. And so we don't put that tax on the church. Because the church needs those funds to take care of its ministry, to support missions, to do the Great Commission. But certainly if they're widows indeed and they have no resources, we want to do what we can. And so the person that we support is one who exhibits her faith in God, is not sorted in the way they make money. But they come to church. They give of themselves. They're willing to support the ministry of the church. You see, she cannot expect funds from the church when her faith is contrary to the Word of God. But she looks to God to provide her needs. And the church ought to be there when that woman is a godly widow. Verse 6 conveys the principle that if a widow lives only for pleasure, then she has a dead spirit. And maybe that person isn't even saved. In verse 8, Paul gives strong rebuke to those that care little, and they are worse than an unbeliever. And we already touched on that verse because it's a commentary back to verse 4. And so we jump to verse 9. Let a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. Let not a widow be taken in the number. I can't leave out words, okay? Skip not. So she must be at least 60. Okay, so that qualifies women 60 and older who are godly, practicing Christian women who are destitute and do not have any resources. Everybody with me?
Amen.
And we ought to be sensitive to being a help to them. Last in this section, the church is obligated to maintain high standards for these widows in the church. They are to be an asset to the church. They have a wealth of wisdom. If a person is 60 years old, they've lived quite a long life. And they can teach the younger children. They can be an asset. Paul now gives guidelines for widows' ministry in the church. And it's very important as he concludes here in verse 10. They have well reported the good works. I think sometimes we think that we ought to just give and not expect anything in return. I think it wasn't too long ago. Our church had been given and given, and one of the trustees came up and said something to the effect, well, rather than just giving the money, why don't we say we'll give you this money if you will do this work? I don't see anything wrong with that. In fact, I believe that's a biblical principle. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't what? Eat. And that's all he's saying here, that these widows must have a good report of good works if she brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has received the afflicted. if she have diligently followed every good work. And so there is a qualifying factor, age and behavior. Amen? And if these persons, these widows fit that description, we ought to be sensitive to do what we can. A widow who does not measure up to the standard would not be a proper role model for our young women to emulate. Now I want to close with this. Faith has a very, very important role in giving and caring and helping. It ought to be the spirit of every good Bible-believing church. But it begins with faith in God and His special grace. So I ask you, have you received the grace of God? Because if not, you're going to care less about a widow. You're going to care less about an elderly man who has no resources. You're not going to be kind to your brother or sister in Christ because you have no faith and you have no eternal life. And so if you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved because God can change your life. He can make you a new creature. Old things will take away. All things become new. So if you want to be a caring and loving person who follows after the Word of God and treats people as God treats them, you need to be saved. Now, I know in an audience like this that probably everyone here has come to that. But if not, don't be remiss and leave without trusting Christ as your Savior. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father God, today we take to heart this passage because for some of us, it's where we live. It's where we're challenged. To take care of our moms and dad, to be kind and loving to people in the church, especially those who are truly widows without resources. And sometimes we have to make sacrifices to show our love. And that can only come if we have faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord, if there's one among us who is not saved, does not know if they die to go to heaven, may this day be the day of their salvation. May they receive the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. Save that soul nearest hell. May they place their trust and faith in You, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook.